The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon. 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey sports station.
Anthony drives one high into center field. Hessing is back at the wall. Gone! Roman Anthony, a two-run homer. 1-1 to Sadon. Driven high and deep. It is way back and gone. Off the National Car Rental sign, Rafaela launches again.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Some of your highlights of the week as the youth movement is on for your Boston Red Sox, winners of seven straight, and nine of their last 10. The big home run a couple nights ago to dead center from Roman Anthony. Sadon Rafaela, who hit home runs in not one, not two, but three straight games, has hits in five straight, and of course, lest we forget, had the big double last night to knock in two in the seventh inning off Brian Baker, freshly acquired from the Rays, from the Orioles, giving the Red Sox the 4-3 comeback. And of course, tonight, lest we forget, St. Bregman, the guy that has been the talking point, the lightning rod, the unofficial leader of the season for your Red Sox, makes his triumphant return to the lineup and to third base as well. He will be in the field batting second tonight for the Sox after almost 2 months off with the quad injury. This is WEEI Afternoons with Ted Johnson, Dan Ballgame filling in for Andy Hart. Your old pal Nick Fitzy-Stevens here as we broadcast to you from the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio, which of course is brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the Ford Summer Sales Event. Hurry in to get great deals now, including on the F-Series. Ford, the official truck of the Red Sox. Ted, you said in the 3 o'clock hour when you jumped in the pool today that you believe right now Red Sox buy-in is at its highest point of the season because you saw more cars in the player lot than you'd seen at any point whenever you'd come by the stadium all season long, right?
Correct.
Which must tell you that the vibes are good, that everyone is agreeing. Hey, let's get there early. Let's put in more work. Bregman is back tonight. We've won seven straight. We got three more against the Rays. If we can beat this team a couple more times, we can pass them in the standings. Then we'll be in third place in the East. We can lock up. We can get a nice hold on the wild card before the break. Like, I know you have said, as we have adopted one of our many mantras here on the afternoon show, you are skeptically optimistic.
Correct.
How much closer are we to removing the skepticism from that optimism?
Yeah, you know, they're getting there. And I hope it's okay with you guys if I do this, but I put the timeline of the trade deadline as when I got to have a definitive feeling on where I think the team is.
Yep. 'Cause
I still need to see it against good competition. Now, the Tampa Bay Rays are good competition. They're 5-2 against the Rays. I thought they had one of their better wins of the seven that they've won in a row. I thought last night was their best win because it came from behind. You had Walker Buehler not pitching great, but, you know, we've seen him pitch a lot worse. And then the young guys kind of helping them win that game last night. There's a lot to get excited about from that game last night. But I still need to see more of it. They come back from the All-Star game, and they have some humdingers. They have three division leaders from the National League that they got to play before the trade deadline, where that truly, to me, is going to – I'm going to know what this team is all about. Guys coming back too, Dan, with Bregman and Yoshida, you have a clear picture of what this team's fully capable of.
You know, it was refreshing last night, guys, to see them win a game that earlier this season they just weren't winning. You know, the 19 one-run losses, luckily we haven't seen that total added to in
a while now.
Just a couple weeks, probably, where it seemed like they were racking them up with ease at the beginning of the season.
So, down 3-0.
Absolutely.
Game's usually been over.
Yeah, that's, you know, 3-1 entering the bottom of the seventh inning. Buehler, 6 innings and 3 runs. If you tell me that's what the rest of the season's going to be for Walker Buehler, that's a 4-5 ERA. That's a guy, I don't think it's going to happen, but I would certainly love it. going down 3-1, bottom of the seventh inning, a team gets in their bullpen. That is where the Red Sox maybe scratch across one run and then lose 3-2, have a couple guys on base in the bottom of the ninth. How many times have we seen that kind of frustrating loss? But the fact that they were able to deliver, capitalize on what was probably a mistake in hindsight, taking Taj Bradley out of the game.
Kind of a mistake.
Yeah, and again, in hindsight, and it's nowhere near the Kevin Cash removal of Blake Snell in the World Series after five innings. But that is the analytical approach that the Rays have had some success off of. So just to see them battle when they didn't have their A stuff with a guy who is not their ace on the mound to a win that maybe a team a couple weeks ago wouldn't have had, or a win they wouldn't have had, it was refreshing. It gave me some hope. That's for sure.
Yes, that's a great point about the one-run games, because that has just been dogging. We've been talking about strikeouts. We've been talking about mental mistakes in the field. And we've been talking about not developing whatever it is they need to be able to clear the hurdle of, oh, man, we were winning this game, and now we're losing by one or by two, thanks to our own device and nonsense. And next thing you know, there goes that game. Once again, how many – if they could just split all those one-run losses on the season, they'd
10-19 in those.
They'd be in first place in the AL East at this point.
Right.
But again, as we all very well know, we cannot control our past. We can only live in and control our now and try to make sure that everything is set for the future. And things are looking really good for the future now because of Marcelo Meyer, because of Roman Anthony, who, yes, admittedly is not in the lineup tonight after Alex Cora told us this week that he's going to be an everyday player.
Lies again.
So, 2 days again, lied right to our gorgeous faces. And Sedan Rafaela, who was my winner of the week in Boston Sports, Dan chose Roman Anthony. Sedan Rafaela is turning into a superstar before our very eyes. And we've got some audio we'd like to share with you. This is Sedan Rafaela speaking to our friend Lou Maloney on the television broadcast postgame about just how he's getting it done.
Sedan, this last 35, 40 games for you, it's just... I mean, everything you're hitting is hard. You're getting hits every single night. For you, what do you think is the difference? What are you feeling right now in the box?
I want to win. I think that's the most important thing right now for me. I want to win. I want to play October here in Fenway. I haven't really experienced that moment yet. And in the box right now, that's what I'm trying to do, help the team win.
That's what he wants to do. I'm trying to win. I want to help this team win. And you know what's helping him find a way, guys, to win? That would, of course, be the magic elixir, the straw. Yep, I got way out tied up
Man,
in that one.
You could use one of those drinks.
tell me about it, bro. The straw that stirs the drink and also makes up the drink, pours it, and serves it to you, of course. That would be Alex Bregman in a piece today put out on the Athletic. Jen McCaffrey talks about how Sedan Rafaela, who has an almost 1,000 OPS over the last couple weeks, talks about what voice does he hear inside his head, Ted, every time he goes to the plate, every time he's in the cage working on his hitting mechanics. It would be the same voice of the guy that was in the cage with him the last several weeks, been working with him all the time. It's like there's 10 of this guy.
Yeah.
Alex Bregman.
No surprise. You know, you guys know what I think of Alex Bregman.
Yeah.
So when I first came onto the show in late February, and there were rumors that he was going to maybe be signed here. I'm the biggest, you know, I'm an Astros fan. I came from Houston. That's my hometown. And so go ahead, insert joke now. But those teams that Bregman, I'll never forget. I think he was brought up in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And his first 30 at bats, he was 0 for 30. And a lot of people were questioning whether that was the right decision. And then he just turned into a brilliant player. He's so smooth defensively at third base. Such a compact, great swing. You know, he hits from the right side. And so there's – obviously you can take advantage of that with the left field in here. So – and I knew his leadership characteristics were off the chart. And we interviewed John McClain, my good buddy that from the Houston Chronicle down there early in the season on some football topics. We squeezed in a baseball, and I asked him about Alex Bregman, and he just – he couldn't say enough good things about him. So I love that he's made me look good because he's gotten here and he's delivered really – in ways that even have surprised me. He's taken ownership of this team for a new guy coming in here to be so smoothly kind of become the face or the leader, I think, of this team.
Yep.
It's pretty impressive.
And I tell you what, I remember those early conversations that you guys were having, and I remember obviously giving credence to the talent. You've seen him do it regular season playoffs. When he's healthy, he's tremendous on both sides of the ball. But when we waded into the leadership and the example for young players and some of those characteristics, I certainly took for granted what you were mentioning about what this kid was capable of. And I think it's interesting that maybe he's even jumping a level above what you thought he was capable of, because every time you see, you pan to the dugout, he's with Roman Anthony. He's with Marcelo Meyer. They're having conversations. You can see him mimicking an at-bat in the dugout, talking to Roman Anthony after he went and hit a home run 420 feet. What more is he going to learn? Well, clearly something, because he goes and talks to Bregman. And even when it's not with the young kids, he's celebrating in the dugout. He's showing them something on the iPad. The Red Sox form a circle around wherever Alex Bregman is in the dugout. And I'm sure some of it, you know, he wants a contract. He wants a long-term extension. So he's trying to be on his best behavior. Yeah. And I'm sure that that's at least a little bit of a part of what's going on. But this can't be an act. It's too genuine and too happening all the time, 24/7, for it to be an act.
It's not an act. And I'll just really say this quickly. I think what I get the sense is he's made his money. He's made his mark on the game. He's got his championship. And he loves baseball. I mean, he loves it. He's a dirt dog. He absolutely loves baseball. And so he's comes here with this relaxed kind of attitude, like, I don't have anything to prove. I'm at the end of my career. I want to play in a town that loves baseball and appreciates baseball like they do here.
Yep.
I think he's in a place mentally where he has the bandwidth to want to mentor and help, because he's in such a good place personally when it comes to money, the situation, where he is at in his career, that he can afford to give energies to those other things that really a young team like the Red Sox have, that they desperately need that kind of leadership.
And he's also observed it too. And mm-hmm. I think we talked about it on the show as well, how he had Josh Reddick and he had these older, you know, Yuli Gurriel, like these older presences when he and Carlos Correa and George Springer, when
Carlos
those guys
Beltran,
came up.
Yeah. Yep.
So he has seen the impact of positive enforcement from veterans. So why not pay it back?
Verlander.
And he probably also sees the talent of Anthony and Meyer and goes, oh, geez, if I just give them a little bit of a nudge in the right direction, Fitzy, then, you know, these kids are going to be off to the races and it's going to benefit me and benefit them.
And what you really need to do is, if you're going to have a young team, you got to have it. You sprinkle in some veterans. Like, I look at some of the basketball teams, how they're constructing the NBA. I mean, Detroit's mostly all young guys, you know, Charlotte mostly. And it's like, okay, but you really need a couple veterans, two or three veterans that have been there, that are accomplished, that are okay being mentors, mixed in with young team. It can't be all young. It has to be.
You need an Al Horford in there somewhere.
Exactly. So, and Bregman fits the bill for
it. He does, and then some. And there's a bunch of different Bregman-related and Bregman-adjacent topics to get to here. WEEI Afternoons, thank you for joining us. 93.7 FM, WEEI, WEI.com. And, of course, the Odyssey app. If you don't have it today, download it, AUDACY. You can get our podcast there. And, of course, now available also on the iHeart app. So, this whole nonsense that sprung up this week, again, about it was the Jim Bowden stuff and some other, you know, inside sources have said, which just feels like complete hooey to me, that if the Red Sox aren't able to sign Alex Bregman soon to a long-term deal, they could explore the options of trading him 2 weeks from now. And here we are, guys, with the Red Sox picking up some incredible momentum, heading towards the All-Star break, 3 games to go against the Rays, could be moving up in the wild card and AL East standings, Ted. And we're talking about the Bregman effect, how he's earning every bit of his $40 million this year before the opt-out if he decides he wants to keep one or two more years. And Scott Boras is going to be difficult to deal with. And how will the Red Sox handle this? And then there were reports the Sox haven't even engaged him yet in long-term extension talks. This is going to happen, right?
Yeah, yeah. I believe they haven't engaged in talks.
Yeah.
That'd be dumb. I can't imagine Bregman. I'd be shocked if they're in long-term talks, but maybe they are. That would surprise me. The last thing that the Red Sox are going to do in 2 weeks is trade Alex Bregman. They are not trading Alex Bregman. This is, I mean, look, I know he got hurt. He hasn't been playing that. I mean, he got off to the best start. I mean, he historically is a slow starter out of the gate, yet he got off to the hottest start he's had since 2019. And the impact he's had on the young guys, the fans would go crazy if they dealt away that really, truly, and I think is probably their most valuable asset in a lot of ways because of the mentoring that he provides, as well as being just a stalwart at third and a guy you can count on, you know, hitting second or third in your lineup.
There would be hell to pay I would honestly be curious to see what the reaction of Red Sox fans would be if for some reason he's sent out of town. Because that first of all makes everything that just went down with Rafael Devers, whether you agree with the trade or not, that makes it completely in vain, because now you signed a guy for a half a season just to upset your current third baseman, yeah, to trade him, to then trade Bregman, and now you have neither and very little to come for it.
Yep.
And of all the characteristics that we've talked about, he is in a half a season and having not played for the last 2 months. I think his reputation's gotten better the last 2 months, despite not even
playing a single game. By not doing anything, he's actually, like, his tides have raised. His value has accrued. It's unbelievable. But what do we think over...
And John Henry doesn't want to waste that cigar. I mean...
No. He didn't want to have... He doesn't want to ask Linda to take that down. We were talking about, do you keep photos up on your Instagram feed? He doesn't want to have Pizzuti scrub the feed. No, he can't have that happen, Ted. But what do we honestly think? Let's look at the two games he's going to play this weekend. So for those listening right now, the reports are that Alex Bregman will play two of the three games this weekend. Most likely tonight, day off tomorrow.
Right.
And then again on Sunday. Tomorrow's a crochet day. And tonight, Hunter Dobbins is on the bump. But what kind of impact do we see Alex Bregman having? Because the offense has been prolific, save for last night, obviously, over the last couple of weeks. What kind of impact, Mr. MassMutual Red Sox pregame show host, do we believe Bregman is going to have upon return?
Well, I'm staking my lock of the game and my very good record in my locks of the game that he is going to have a good game. So if he sucks, then he's going to cost me and the listeners money. So that's one. But I see no reason, because of how quickly he jumped in and kind of hit the ground running at the beginning of the season. And the way that the Red Sox are surging, if he was coming in 2 weeks ago when they were ice cold and we were talking about firing everybody, I'd worry a little bit about the amount of pressure that's going to go on Alex Bregman. But Yoshida's hitting behind him. He was 3-for-4 in his first game. Duran's on a great stretch in front of him. You got Rafaela, one of the best hitters in baseball in the last 6 weeks. So I think if there's any landing spot that you want Bregman to return in, this current state of the Red Sox offense, 100 runs in their last 12 games, is where you'd want it to be.
That's interesting. You know what I didn't realize is, I guess, is Yoshida, he's a character, huh? Because I was listening to Will Fleming last night and Will Middlebrooks, and they just kept saying how beloved he is and how much, I guess, everybody gets a kick out of him. So there's this team with a 7-game win streak with Rafi Devers away.
Devers.
They are allowing themselves to have fun, relax, and kind of enjoy the success that they're having. And they got it. I mean, Yoshida and you get Bregman back. All of us, like, and you're already starting to play good. All it does is just magnify. And that's why I said earlier, I think there's full buy-in right now. I've never seen the player lot at the Red Sox at Fenway filled as early as it was today when I showed up for work. I hadn't seen it close to being full capacity like it was today when I came to work.
And Rafael Devers?
Devers?
And you ran into our friend Jared Carrabas out in the street earlier today. He, of course, surfaced that audio last night of Sox fans chanting. There's your fans literally chanting, "Keep Duran."
That's interesting.
Getting a lot harder to make a
trade. Before we grab a couple of
calls. And he was the one guy I was like, I would be okay them parting ways. That was, I said, that almost 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Getting a lot more difficult.
Brez was laughing on the street while he was on his phone literally making the deal. Like, suckers.
I am having a hard time with real human emotions.
I will accept that deal. Thank you very much.
What is this thing you're doing being positive? You know, it's interesting. I just want to ask you guys real quick before we grab a call. With the way they're playing and with vibes good right now, Ted, like you said, and you can see the energy and the fans are connecting. Bullpen is looking good. Last night we had a great out. Murphy looked great. Right into my guy, Whitlock. And then, of course, Chapman was.
Whitlock's a one-inning guy now, right?
I hope so. Enough with the stretching him out.
I leverage one inning.
That's it?
He's your setup guy, I guess. Fine.
That's the perfect job. Just give me one inning. All I got to do is one inning.
Yeah. That's it. Perfect. If he looked good, then he got Caminero.
Throw your arm off for an inning and go hit the showers.
But with four outfielders who all want time, but knowing that depth can always be an issue and the whole, like, oh, where are we going to play Willie McGee? Can having too many good baseball players be a bad thing? If the right offer came along, would you pull the trigger on a Duran deal, or would you say, no, I can't mess up the chemistry right now?
It's hard. I think 2 weeks ago I was hell bent. Yeah, it didn't second guess at all. Now I'm questioning it. He is he's playing in a way, and maybe that's what some of these guys that were maybe being benched in trades are all kind of playing good, but he's one of them. I think his story is kind of fascinating. I think people resonated with that. So I would say at this point right now, I am not trading Darren Durant.
Okay. Well, this is perfect because sometimes sports radio gives you the gift of two people calling in consecutively with the exact opposite opinion of each other. So we will come back and grab those calls in just a moment. Everyone that's on the line right now, please stay tuned. We will come back. We'll get you in the odds and ends segment. Plus, we'll talk about everything else that we have backloaded into what is going to be an action-packed and dynamic final 30 minutes. And, of course, if you missed it in the 3 o'clock hour, we'll have the replay of Stiz's unbelievable diss track aimed at Will Clark. Hit him up, Will Clark. It's awesome. It's a viral sensation. It's already leading Spotify and Apple on downloads. So I am making that up.
It's got more than Deuces Wild.
That's for damn sure. Oh, shots fired. Go get him, Stanley. 617-779-7937. We'll get to you guys in just a moment here. But first, as always, we've got to catch you up on everything trending in sports. Here's Dan Ball.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Brought to you by High Octane and Manchester Harley. The Red Sox have won 7 games in a row. They beat the Tampa Bay Rays 4-3 at Fenway last night. Chris Murphy with the win in relief. Aroldis Chapman with his 16th save. Game 2 of that series is tonight. First pitch is at 7:10. Hunter Dobbins returns to the big leagues to start tonight. He'll face Drew Rasmussen on the mound. Some moves from earlier today, one Red Sox fans were certainly waiting for. The team reinstated infielder Alex Bregman from the 10-day injured list. They also reinstated Dobbins from the 15-day injured list, the corresponding moves. They optioned infielder David Hamilton and right-handed pitcher Isaiah Campbell back down to AAA Worcester. Here's your lineup for tonight. Jaron Duran leads off in left, and it's Alex Bregman. He is at third. Masataka Yoshida is your DH with Carlos Narvaez your catcher. Willy Abreu in right, Trevor Story at short. Marcelo Meyer is at second with Abraham Toro at first and Seidon Rafaela out in center, and he is batting ninth. You can listen to the game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Mass Mutual pregame show with myself is at 6:10, and Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks will have the call of the game. The Celtics Summer League slate began with a game against the Memphis Grizzlies this afternoon. Currently, the Celtics are beating the Grizzlies 60-53 with 4:41 remaining in the third quarter. You can watch the game on NBA TV. The New England Revolution visit Austin FC tomorrow night. Kickoff is at 8:30, and the field has been set for the 2025 Home Run Derby in Atlanta. The 8 contestants are Ronald Acuna from the Braves, Byron Buxton from the Twins, Junior Caminero from the Rays, Jazz Chisholm from the Yankees, O'Neill Cruz from the Pirates, Cal Raleigh from the Mariners, Brent Rooker from the Athletics, and finally, James Wood of the Washington Nationals. New Harley Davidson Street Glide under $265 a month at High Octane in Manchester Harley. Ride out for under $265 a month on a new Street Glide at High Octane in Manchester Harley. Harley Davidson. I'm Dan Ball. This is trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons live from Fenway Park coming up right after this.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen to WEEI on your smart speaker.
Just say, play 93.7 WEEI.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
5:30. About an hour and a half until first pitch at Fenway. Got to tell you, folks, you're missing out on something pretty special. The skies are blue. The sun is shining. The people are here. Lansdowne is moving. It is going to be a nice night for baseball, baby. I enjoyed it last night myself. I heard some of my colleagues here are going to be attending the game tonight as well.
Really?
I hope you are in for a gem. Rasmussen against Dobbins on the return of St. Bregman night. Speaking of which, as I mentioned just before we went to break here on WEEI Afternoons, the calls come in, and they couldn't be more split if they had to be. So let's go first to – so we were talking about locking up Alex Bregman long-term and, you know, how that seems like a no-brainer.
Got to do it.
You have to do it for so very many reasons. Of course, unless You're Paulie in Dedham. Hi, Paulie. How are you?
What's up, Paulie?
Hey, what do you say, guys?
What's up?
What's up?
You there? Okay.
We're here, buddy.
We most certainly are. How you doing, buddy?
Jenny, I like you, and I'm sure like you, Nikki, and the rest of the crew. I love Alex Bregman. I like him. He's a hell of a player. But he's not a young kid anymore. He's getting a bit older. Okay, he's starting to get banged up. He's been in and out of the lineup the last couple of years. And he was ending with a stalwart at third base this year. He made more than a share of errors. He got Devers disease over there earlier in the year. He was moving the ball more than a share, okay? So if I could get what I want from him, I'd move him. I hold on to my four outfielders. They're all pretty young guys. And you're going to one or two here or there, like, say, Roman Anthony perhaps will hit the rookie wall, or Abreu's a bit of a streak hitter. So you can move them around. You get that extra guy. I hold on to those guys. But if I can get an Iron Man setup reliever, I'm Dylan Bregman, and I'm getting that guy. So I'm staying in games. I'm either keeping the team in games, or I'm keeping the lead towards the end with Aroldis Chapman. It's my closer. I'm building that bullpen with an Iron Man setup guy.
Iron Man setup guy. Boy, that was a comment so strong that it actually buckled Ted's knees because it made him think for a second, like, wait, Paulie, it might be a pretty good point there.
I am. You know what? I am open to hearing Bregman trades. I don't want to just say, hey, you know, you don't even look at it. Look, if somebody gave you a good enough offer, I'd have to consider it. But no disrespect to Paulie, I just feel like you got an everyday player, you know, who's a gold glove at third base, who's a clutch hitter. For a position, you know, in a as a bridge, you know, pitcher to the closer is, I don't know. I just think Bregman's way more valuable than that position player. You'd have to give me like a stud starter
You think you get that for a guy in his 30s who's probably only got like 4 good years left, maybe tops?
He made the All-Star. He's an All-Star.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alex Bregman, the All-Star. It looks like he's still got a lot of good baseball left.
You working for Scott Boras?
No, I'm just telling you facts.
Yeah, no, that's true. And I guarantee you that's exactly what Scott Boras is saying right now, Dan. Like, hey, this guy that you needed so badly, he's coaching up your boys. He's buying him suits. He's now team leader in 6 months or less. And oh, by the way, he missed 2 months and he's an All-Star.
Paulie was speaking my language. I mentioned to you earlier this week that I thought relief pitching was the area because of how they wear down the bullpen, do the Red Sox. Relief pitching was an area you needed to focus more than anything else. So he spoke my language. But guys, we have talked time and time and time again about how young and inexperienced and error-prone and mistake-prone this team is to only then turn around and trade away one of the more before the injury consistent presences that you had on the field, and during the injury, the most consistent off-the-field presence that you had. I can't do it. I'm willing to, God forbid, John Henry, close your ears, risk spending the money on a bad contract at the end of it to sign this guy long-term. I can't hear it.
There's just too much value. I'm not moving him. But at the same time, Paulie makes mention of what you could possibly get in return, and then I started thinking, all right, well, then maybe Marcelo Meyer plays third for a year or two while you still have Trevor Story on the higher end of his contract.
Still got four outfielders, though.
Now I have Sedan Rafaela at second base. I put Jaron Duran back in center where he was more comfortable.
He's had a bigger impact, Sedan does, in playing center than second.
I was telling Dan in the 2 o'clock hour, watching him play center is the equivalent of watching Jaron Duran run the bases. Like, Duran is a gazelle and runs harder than anyone I think I've ever seen. And watching Rafael, he doesn't move, he glides. He just glides. He is the highest rated defensive center fielder in baseball right now. So who am I to say, like, yeah, so what we should do is pluck him out of there and put someone else there and put him at second base. But I'm trying to move pieces and make the equation work just in case for some reason Boras comes in and goes, nah, this is going to be $300 million.
I mean, Cora said as much today. Rafaela is in the mix for second base. He's going to be playing there, you know, once a week or thereabouts when you get back from the All-Star break.
Well.
So they're starting to lay the groundwork, but I still can't trade Bregman.
Sure. All right. And then just like I said, of course, you get a call about trading Alex Bregman, and then you get Adam in Providence who says you got to lock him up long term. Hi, Adam. How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good, man.
What's up?
Not too much. So all due respect to Paulie from Dedham, I think trading Bregman for anything would be disastrous. I think you need to make a run at locking him up, even if you have to front-load the AAV on the contract to kind of, you know, dumb down the years a bit. you do everything in your power to lock him in. You know, I called last week, and, you know, the host afterwards said, Bregman's got to prove it. The guy's won gold gloves. He's won championships. He's a borderline Hall of Famer. He's a great culture fit. Yep. And you got you got Meyer, Anthony, Campbell. They need guys. They need examples of what it takes to be a winning bigger. You have it sitting there in the clubhouse in Bregman. You got to lock him up. And I think, you know.
Yep, I agree with you, Adam. Thank you very much, sir.
Adam, call back anytime.
Solid call, please. Hard to argue with logic like that. Like you have a laundry list of things that you need on a team where the youth movement, Dan, is not just underway, it is now surging and taking hold of Red Sox Nation, empowering the team to victories like we saw last night as well. You got Meyer, you got Duran, and you especially have Rafaela and Roman Anthony all heavily involved in last night's thrilling 4-3 come-from-behind victory here at Fenway. So let's just go ahead and upset the apple cart and just like,
of course,
and get rid of him. By the way, there's someone else who wants to poo-poo all over Paulie's call. Steve in the truck, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Fitz, my IPA buddy, how are you?
I'm doing very well, my friend. How are you? Nice to hear from you.
You know, I hate to call anybody an idiot, because I'm not the brightest bulb either. But he's the same guy that calls up and says, let's get Brady back, you know, last 2 years. You know, give it a break with the Brady stuff, number one. He was retired. If you take off Bregman off this team, Bregman, you're going to really ruin the chemistry. He's kind of knit a blanket there with the younger guys, trying to show them the right way. Try to lead them down a path that was away from the Rafi Devers path. So you know what? You're right. Don't upset the apple cart. Don't ruin the chemistry. Because you know what? When this guy retires, he's going to be a damn good coach, too. I got news for you. So you know what? I would extend him, give him a little money, and I might even bring him back as a coach for these kids. Maybe a hitting coach. I don't know. But I think he brings a lot to the table. And getting rid of him, I think, would be a disaster.
Steve, that's a great call. Thank you. And the fact it would be so much easier, guys, to seamlessly say, hey, thanks for your services, Mr. Bregman.
Yep.
We'll walk you down this hall from your 5-year extension all the way right into being a coach.
Right as Alex Cora elevates up to the president of baseball operations when he's done being a manager, you promote Alex Bregman with bench coach Rob Refsnyder to lead the Boston
Red Sox. There we go.
Perfect.
Now, of course, as you folks heard earlier this week on WEEI Afternoons, we had quite the social media kerfuffle that broke out when Will Fleming joined us here in studio at the WEEI Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio and revealed some information about Rafael Devers blowing off San Francisco Giants legend Will Clark for some first base defensive workouts. Will Clark then clapped back at our station and said some very choice, unkind, unflattering, dare I say, profane words.
Uncalled for.
Aimed at our station and most especially at Will Fleming, our friend, the voice of the Red Sox on the Red Sox Radio Network. So our guy, Stiz Grimy, Stanley Bruno from the mean streets of Chelsea, did what he does best. He put together a diss track, getting the back of our guy, Will Fleming. We shared it earlier, and we're more than proud to once again play for everyone here right now the new diss track from WEEI Afternoons in support of our guy, Will Fleming. Here's Hit 'Em Up, Will Clark.
And Will Fleming, you can go f*** off, motherfucker. Who is one of the Red Sox radio TV guys, I guess.
First off, here's the deal, let me set this straight. If this beef is going up like Rafi Devers' weight, you sounding kind of mad, but it's all a game. Keep dissing while you missing from the Hall of Fame. Cause Stick gave me the gig and he passed the torch. Will Clark and Rafi Devers just some real sad giants. We keep on winning every inning, it's a run. See us grinning cause we dumped on you a bum. You looking dumb. Will Clark, go ask my brother how I leave you with your 3 downloads and crappy show. Nobody knows. You just mad somebody finally told the truth. Flem Dog, here to give you the proof. I'm in the booth. Let's let these giants know it's on for life. Will Clark might lie tonight. Devers only cares about money and snacks. Stop eating all them Big Macs. You know, see, grab your glove when you see Will Clark. Watch your mouth or the beef will start. We traded you for a bag of balls. We really never wanted you at all. Listen, the Giants suck.
You know, with this AI bullshit that's going on. And so now he goes on some podcast or Zoom. I don't know when it was. So other than that, I'm cool.
Forget Devers. Forget Will Clark. Forget the Giants as a baseball organization and as a crew, and if you're down with Deuces Wild, then forget you too.
WEEI WEEI. WEEI. New England Sports Original. WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Oh, man. And the Grammy for Best Diss Track played on a sports radio station goes to Hit 'Em Up, Will Clark.
I will say, I may or may not have gotten a text from a certain broadcaster that said
what?
He liked it as well. That's all.
Joe Castiglione texted
right.
you?
Joe C., the one and only.
Great work, Stiz.
That is
great
awesome.
Work, Stiz.
I mean,
you know what? You want to recognize
how about that, Stiz?
Great. Atta boy.
That was awesome, buddy. Great, great stuff.
This isn't a one-off, by the way, Stiz, right? This is maybe the return
we'll
in the arena.
Yeah. We'll definitely start making some more parodies.
You know what I would do if I were you is I would march down to the boss's office with a printout from the text line as well as the social media engagement numbers, show it to him, and then expect no raise.
Yeah, someone on the text line did say this makes up for some of my awful, awful sports days. So.
Yeah, exactly. We will forgive your Belichick love and some of the bad takes with the
some.
It was amazing.
Not all. Some.
It was amazing, buddy. If we were at a bar, I would buy you a Sam Adams. But I'm at the ballpark, and they cost three times as much over here. So, but we love our friends here at the ballpark as well, and we're super excited for tonight's game. Be nice. Get a Fenway Frank, some Sal's Pizza, which is sneaky delicious. Mm. Make sure you swing by the Beer Pavilion out here. Visit my guy Mikey. He'll take good care of you as well. 617-779-7937. All right, here's a fun call. This is related to the three-point stance that I had earlier in the day, which I have actually gotten some flack and feedback over, where I said sprinkles should be free at all ice cream parlors. Stanley called them Jimmy's, and we have someone who would like to educate us about the difference between Jimmy's and sprinkles. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Hey, so I can't believe New Englanders are saying sprinkles.
Thank you.
It started actually with the Jimmy Fund, where when you made a donation to the Jimmy Fund, you got a little package of chocolate Jimmies.
Oh.
So it's really bad to call them sprinkles.
Thank you, Dan.
I had no idea. That's why they call. Okay, so you're telling me it's okay. It doesn't have to do with any of the other stuff that you looked up on the internet, Stanley.
I mean, what I will say is, of course, the internet's the internet, so I did see some story saying, oh, the term Jimmy's is offensive. But
the Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But in that same post, it also said none of that is verified, and it's just kind of like something some people were running with.
Yeah, I feel like everyone gets the dub, and at the same time, everyone eats the L on that one. Speaking of an all-time loss, here we are in Odds and Ends, or supersized Odds and Ends, as we like to call it here on Fridays. And that, of course, is sponsored by Cars for Kids, your trusted charity for car donations. Also accepts donations of boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. All you have to do is call today at 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. That's Cars with a K, or carsforkids.org. This happened earlier this week on Jeopardy, as we teased earlier in the program. There was a football-related question, and someone got it right. It just wasn't, well, who you expected it would have been.
Number, please, 600.
Number of points a team gets for a safety in the NFL. Scott.
What is 3?
Sorry, no. Rahul.
What is 1?
Also incorrect. Sarah.
What is 2?
Right in the middle, it's 2.
Thank you, Sarah, for redeeming humankind.
Those are the best. Those are the absolute best. To see these nerds.
Fire those nerds into the sun, Ted. Put them on a Bezos Blue Origin and fire them.
I felt like the girl that came in with the 1 right after the, like, she was like, oh, it's not 3, it's 1.
Got it.
Wrong.
It was 2 dudes.
Was it?
The 2 guys whiffed, and then Sarah comes in and she nails it.
Good for her, man.
Good for Sarah. First of all, but the guy, you know what? I can almost, the safety being 1 point, I could semi-excuse. But the first guy answers and he says 3. It's a field goal. Tell me you've never watched football without saying you've actually never watched football.
I mean, I feel like they were at least 2 for 2 there. And Sarah, I hope that Sarah knew versus like, I'm might as well just go in the middle because these two seem like idiots.
There's a good chance that's what she did.
I hope that I'm wrong. I hope that I'm wrong, and she knew because that would be awesome. But isn't it great when you go through a full column of sports questions and they go 0-for-5?
It's the best.
Jeopardy
stuff is the best.
Gives me just a little bit of hope for
like they answer
for what
these
we're doing
questions
here.
That are just like the odds of me ever getting one is like 1 in 1,000,000.
Yeah.
Yet the sports stuff, it's like they have no concept of sports.
None.
It's a blind spot in their knowledge.
All right, impromptu question. What is the
treat
game show?
Yourself a round of sausage.
Sorry, I stepped on you, Nick.
Top five. No, please.
But the host. Please, I've told you. What's the host's name of Jeopardy? What's his name?
Ken Jennings.
Oh, but Ken Jennings, if you listen to him, you can hear him kind of laugh after the guy goes 3 points.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Get a load of this guy.
I'm a nerd, and at least I know that. Impromptu question on the fly. What is the game show you would like to still or kind of always wanted to be a guest on?
You know what? I've always liked Family Feud. To me, I feel like I would crush it in that game. You know, I think I would be a good team leader. You know, the guy that, you know, gets everybody going, fired up, you know. And I think I have a lot of knowledge on the questions that they ask on the Family Feud.
Well, there are six of us, if you include Brian Frazoco, Stiz, and Andy Hart. But you need five for a Family Feud family. Which one of the five of the six of us is getting cut?
Oh, so someone has to get out? Ooh,
there you go. Right on the spot. How about the one that took Friday off today?
Yeah. Sorry, Hart.
There you go.
There you go.
What do you mean I got it wrong, Steve? What do you mean I got it wrong?
Yeah, this whole game is wrong, Steve. Yeah. This game sucks. True.
When we're reading out the Quiz with Stiz rules to him in the middle of Family Feud, Andy, no bitching. Shut up.
That's right. Sorry.
Anyways.
He got voted out.
Perfect.
I did said before we go to break, we're going to stick around for a couple extra minutes and kick it to the top of the hour and then pass the baton a few minutes after 6 o'clock to our friend Dan Ball, who's got you with the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show in advance of the 7:10 first pitch of Rays Red Sox. But I did want to take a quick moment here to give you the floor, Ted, because I know you, like anybody with a heart, a conscience, a daughter, and a soul, but most especially as a native Texan, were particularly upset by and hit home with the Texas floods.
I don't know what it hit me, and I called my dad senior, Ted Senior, the other night, and asked him, you know, the town that got hit with the worst with the floods, Kerrville. I said, Pop, what do you think about Kerrville? And it took him a while to answer. He was very emotional talking about it. That's Kerrville is only a few hours away from Houston, and the river that it was overflowed that. Was responsible for a lot of deaths. I mean, over 100 now, I think. The Guadalupe River. I used to do the rafting down it. So it's a big river where people tie up their tubes, put in ice chest music, and you attach all the tubes together. So you go down as one big group. You start, and it's a 4-hour. You can be on the thing for 4 hours, and you get picked up at the bottom and driven back to your car. I've done that many, many times on that river. So it hit home. One of the unbelievable things that I read that Bruce Springsteen is paying for all of the victims' funerals and any of their expenses. He's taking care of that, which I thought was an incredible gesture. But some of the stories of people saving people is tremendous. One is this dad. This house was filling up with water. And the water was – so you basically looked outside their windows – and there's just water there, right? Because they'd risen up over the house.
How does it
and
rise
so
that high?
The dad went, they got grandma and they got the kids and the wife on this mattress that they had. He went to punch out the window to let water rush in so they could get out.
Yep.
And as he did it, he sliced his hand
and
died. He bled out.
Bled out?
He bled out before he could get his family to safety. The rest of his family did live, but the dad died saving his family. So it's just, there's a lot of stories like that. I appreciate that. I wanted to just acknowledge that is one of the more tragic things that's happened in that great state. So that's, but way to go for Bruce Springsteen. That was huge that he's doing that.
The boss.
That whole state is just hurting right now.
You wake up one day wondering, should I have cereal, eggs, or pancakes for breakfast? And then a couple hours later, you're in mortal peril wondering how you can save your family.
You know what's crazy is that there's so many of these camps all along the Guadalupe that I guess had never had any issues with flooding until this time, because why would you put a camp that close to a river that could potentially overflow? You wouldn't. And so this is it just – obviously, the camp, the main camp where the most of the girls that perished were from, that owner of that camp died trying to rescue one of the girls. So just tragic, tragic stuff.
Our hearts go out to everyone affected by the flooding in Texas by the Guadalupe River. And, of course, much respect and salute to Bruce Springsteen for agreeing to cover the funeral costs, as well as the heroes who have donated their time, their expenses, their hearts, their soul, their grit, their sweat over trying to save people and rebuild portions of Texas affected by the Guadalupe River floods. This is WEEI Afternoons. We would normally be signing off, but we're sticking around for just a couple extra minutes. Let's actually give you a little bit of hope. Not just because we would love some now heading into the weekend with the Red Sox, not just because Texas could use some as well, but that's exactly what this guy stands for. When we come back, these three Supermen will talk about our excitement to go see the new Superman movie, and we hope you'll stick around. And then it's the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show with Dan Ball on WEI After.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.